welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hey, good evening, family. It's awesome to be with you all tonight. It's really a privilege. I want to take the moment just to thank our leadership, and specifically Philip. I've served under many leaders and pastors in Shofar, and I want to tell you, as someone who served under many pastors in Shofar, that Philip is really a special leader. You are in good hands. So Philip, I just want to honor you publicly tonight. I know people don't do that often, but really he's a special leader, and I thank you for the opportunity to preach here as a normal member. I'm one of you, preaching to one of you. Tonight I want to share on a personal passion of mine. It's marketplace ministry. Okay. Also want to take the opportunity to thank the intercessors. There's a group of people that intercede before every service, and I want to encourage you to join them. But tonight I almost had to change my topic. So strong the intercession was, and I want to thank you guys. If I had to change it, I would change it to step out and get out there. Okay, so I'm gonna change this a little bit as we go. Step out and let's get out there. Okay, let's transform the marketplace. So I do believe it's a word in season. It's something that's been in my heart for quite a while. I remember at our men's camp sitting there and God showing me, what was it, a few weeks ago, God showing me a little glimpse of what is to come in our church and the church globally. And I want to share it with you prophetically that the time of playing church is over. The time of getting together on a Sunday evening and then going out and having a normal Monday to Friday is going to end very soon. And what he showed me is that we are going into a season prophetically where people will align their lives with the church's vision. Okay, so typically a young engineer aligning a business trip to India with a scouting mission that Pastor Philip had in mind. Okay, that type of thing. It's just, a small glimpse that I had, but I believe it's not a long-term future thing. We'll still see it in this year, people starting aligning their occupations, their calling with that of the church. Even in this week, we're going to have a workshop in our district where we're going to take this a bit further and make it practical. So yes, I do believe it's a season we're in. So I want to see who of you are in full-time ministry as you're sitting here tonight. Okay. Well, one thing is going to change, and that is when we walk out of here, every hand is going to be raised. Okay, amen. Matthew 3 verse 2 says, John preached saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm not John, but I want to tell you, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who knows what that Greek word repent means? What is the Greek word for repent? Metanoia, brilliant. In Joburg, no one knew that, so I'm happy. So meta is change, and noia is the way you think. So tonight, God is saying, let's change the way we think about ourselves. Amen? Let's change the way we think about ourselves. This is a word of encouragement. It's a light word. We're going to have fun tonight, so I want you to relax. I want you to walk out of here with less burdens. I saw when we were praying, God removing burdens off people's shoulders and setting them free to really enjoy what they're doing on a daily basis. So let's pray before we continue. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We're so blessed to be here, God, but we know we can't just be blessed here. We need to be blessed out there, and we ask that tonight you will equip us, Lord. Help us to step it up in the marketplace. Lord, we know that you're happy with church. You're happy with these evenings, these get-togethers. But Lord, tonight the focus is on Monday to Friday, and we ask that you'll equip us, Lord. Encourage us. Stir up our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so a little bit of a purpose statement for the evening is to identify the lies of Satan, because there are many in our lives concerning this. Understand God's heart for the marketplace and to empower us with kingdom principles. Okay, it's just a summary, and I'll get back to that as we go. I want you to keep these two pictures in mind. The first one is of Jerusalem. It's the next slide. It's a picture of a market in Jerusalem. Okay? And then the next one, you know where that is? It's Church Square. Okay, so it's not all that different. Just switch back again, forward. Okay, except for the camels and the way the people dressed, it's still a market square. And I always wonder where would Jesus have had his coffee? You know, if he was alive, would he have? I don't know all the coffee shops there, but he would have had a coffee shop or a restaurant, and he would sit down with his disciples. So tonight, as I speak, have these pictures in mind. I'm going to try and make the word as practical as possible. It's sometimes difficult for us to read this and imagine it as if it was going to happening today. But try and, you know, just live into those times. Okay, so guys, family, if we want to transform this nation, okay, I'm very blessed with Shofar's vision. It's to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. So if we say we want to reach nations, okay, how do we do that? It's a very nice vision, but we need to get very practical about this. Now, I just want to point you to the three pillars of a nation. Okay, it's education, governance, and business. Now, all of you, and I know I'm going to speak a lot about business and business people and all of that, but if you're still studying, then know that one day you will operate in one of these three pillars. So even as of today, you should be and you are a marketplace minister. So I want to speak to the students as well. Just for interest's sake, who of you are already working? Okay, the majority. Okay, great. Okay, so the marketplace is the heart of a nation. To change a nation, you need to change a heart, or the heart. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't like starting with problems, but I have identified a holy problem, and I call it holy. And I'm just going to expand on this before we continue, because we need to identify the problems and the lies in our mindset and our perceptions. The first one is a mentality of work and church. There's a separation between work and church, right? When the truth is that we are the ecclesia, we are the church. Tonight the church is here, tomorrow the church is out there, but we are still the church. Amen? Secondly is the Sunday Christian phenomenon. Satan is very happy with a Sunday Christian. Okay, if you do the calculation, the math, if you say you're awake from 6 to 10, okay, that is what, 16 hours, right? So then you're either preparing to go to work or to go to class, or you are at class or at work for another 11 hours, say from 6 to 5, right? So make the calculation, 11 on 16 is 60. What, 68.75? I had to do the double decimal because I know there's some clever people in church. So it's 68.75% of your wake time is spent in your occupation. So if you are not using that time, then you're very inefficient. This is very blessed. Sunday, and tonight I want to clearly say I'm not preaching against anything. I'm preaching for something. Okay, so I'm not going to preach against gatherings or small groups or whatever. That God is very blessed with, that we are blessed with, but we need to step it up outside of these hours. So if you take 7 hours, say 3 hours on a Wednesday, 4 hours on a Sunday as a minimum, that's 7 hours versus 55 hours, right? 11 times 55. So you can just do the math and know that a Sunday Christian is highly inefficient. Then lastly, is that God anoints the pastor, but not the professional. When the truth is that both the fivefold minister and the marketplace minister has the same Holy Spirit in them. Yes, there's a different anointing, a different function, but guess what? Both of them are going to have to give an account of their callings. Sometimes you say, yeah, the pastor, one day in heaven, you know, God is going to speak to him. Reality is God's going to speak to you about what you did with your life. Maybe you were supposed to be a pastor and you were an accountant. Maybe the pastor was supposed to be an accountant and not a pastor. The reality is we need to live according to our callings. I was so blessed the other evening. I had this chat with a friend in small group, and he told me that when he got saved, he was so passionate, and he knew he had to go into ministry, but he didn't have peace that he had to go into fivefold ministry, and he was confused because he was a young Christian. He just thought, that's the only thing. You're saved, now you need to go into the fivefold ministry. And he prayed, and God, it was just quiet. And he said one morning he was praying in his room, and God spoke to him clearly. He said, God just said, Renu, you're an engineer. And he said, thank you, Lord. That's what I wanted to know. So tonight, this is a word of encouragement. The truth is that there are fivefold ministers in this hall, right? But the opposite is that the rest of us are already in the ministry, marketplace ministry. I always say that this gathering is like a team talk, okay? This is where we get together. It's halftime break. We see if everyone is okay. The coach, Philip, Sean, comes in. They check if everyone is okay. They encourage us. They mend some broken legs. And then, guess what? We go back onto the field because that's where the game is taking place. The game doesn't happen here, right? The game is not taking place here tonight. The game is tomorrow morning up until Friday afternoon. That's where the game is taking place. This is where we recoup, where we gather strength. You know, I watched some rugby yesterday, and it's scary to think that grown men, imagine me and Kulain. I'm telling Kulain, okay, you stand there at the back, and let's run into each other as hard as we can, okay, in front of all these people, and then you cheer for us. That's what rocked. My daughter asked me, why do they run into each other? She couldn't understand it. And so guess what? You are going to get injured on the playing field. You are going to get hurt. Okay, and we need to wake up. We need to face the realities of a kingdom life. It is a tough game. It's a hard game. But we already know what the score is going to be. Okay, so tonight, be encouraged. I want you to throw off any burdens you have and just be encouraged in the Word. There's a saying that the day Christians leave the marketplace and enter the church mentality, Satan leaves the church alone and enters the marketplace. The day Christians leave the marketplace and enter the church mentality, Satan leaves the church alone and enters the marketplace. So before I tell you a little story of a few businessmen in Jerusalem, I want to just highlight some interesting observations from the Word. Mark 6, 2-3. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Okay, now I did a bit of research, but Jesus, this Greek word for carpenter is tekton. Okay, and tekton is actually, it's more than just a woodworker. It's master of the craft, designer, construction engineer, or architect. Are there any civil engineers or architects here? Designers? Great. Good. Master of the craft. So you guys are tektons, okay? So your girlfriend can call you tekton from now on. Sounds quite impressive. Glenn, you said you're an engineer, so listen to this. Then the next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did Kulain get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, no, he's just an engineer, the son of Martha and the brother of John, and his sisters, they live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe Kulain. Amen. Let them be offended. Let them be amazed with the power in our lives. The world is longing to see the sons of God, to see us come alive, to see the wisdom and the power and the miracles. We cannot afford to sit in these chairs and have it all for ourselves. when we were interceding, I saw a picture of a massive bright light. It's awesome. This is amazing what we have here, but it's extremely dark out there. So we need to take these light, or this light, out. In Jesus' name. So some interesting facts from the Word. The 12 disciples, they were from the marketplace. Jesus went and fetched them in the secular world. He didn't go and fetch them in a synagogue or in Bible school, which is very good. He fetched them in a secular environment. They were not scholars of the Word at that point. Matthew was a retired tax collector. Luke, a medical doctor. John, a fisherman. Mark, relative of a wealthy Barnabas and son of Mary. Now, Mary was, in my opinion, she should have been quite a wealthy woman, because when Peter in Acts 4 and 12, you will remember that he passed through the guards out of prison. He was led by an angel, okay, to basically escape prison. And then he arrived at the house of Mary, where also they had the Last Supper, and he knocked at the door at the gate, and the servant girl, Rhoda, initially they didn't hear him, and then she ran out. She saw him and she ran back, and all the while they were all praying in the room. So it must have been a big house, or they were just praying very loud in a small flat. But in my opinion, very wealthy lady. Paul funded his own missions. You can see that in Acts. And then 22 of the miracles, of the 22 miracles, only one took place in a religious environment, and that was the one at the temple gate called Beautiful. Okay, the first church was born not in a temple or in a synagogue, but in the upper room. We read in Acts 1 verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Think about this. They went upstairs to a room where 120 people were staying. Okay, so one of this guy's rooms was big enough for 120 people to stay. Does anyone here have a house that big? No? So, wealthy person. I don't think there's a house that big in Waterkloof, but maybe there is. Interesting facts. Continue just from the Word. 16 out of the 38 parables relate to stewardship or financial management. You can look there. Construction, winemaking even, farming, return on investments, harvest, venture capital, and high-risk situations. Jesus used everyday situations to talk to everyday people. Okay, so normal people could relate to them. Okay, now I want to tell you a story, because I want to get to ministry again. Just the next slide. If you look at this, Jerusalem at the top and Pretoria City at the bottom, I don't know, it's not all that different, eh? Yes, the buildings are bigger. Things have changed a bit, but it's still a city. And I want to remind you that this, as far as I know, is still the capital city of South Africa. Yes? Right? We live in a very relevant and a very important city at this point in time. We all have a very specific role to play. And Jerusalem, at that point in time, grieved God, grieved Jesus. In Luke 19, it says, now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Luke 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. So, Jerusalem grieved God. And we do not want the same word spoken over our city. Now, 12 men got together and changed that city. 12 men got together in an upper room. And this is the story I want to tell you tonight to get back to the theme of our evening. And I'd like, if you have your Bible here, if you can open it in Acts 1 with me. If you don't have your Bible here, I want you to take your phone. Okay? Generation Y. See, I was generation, I think I'm generation X or Y, somewhere in between. That's why I thought it was a digital camera that Philip referred to. Not an old school one. So, do you all have your Bibles open or your phones? Because I'm just going to show you snapshots of what happened here as an example to us. Acts 1. You with me? I will have some scriptures up there. And once again, try and just imagine you being there at this point in time. Because guys, we can't keep on reading the word and not believing that without believing that it's possible for us to do the same. Amen? Acts 1 verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay, so here it starts. It starts in a wealthy person's house. Okay, so I want to challenge some of you who think that wealthy people don't have a place in the kingdom. This is where we started, in a wealthy person's house. Okay, so if you have anything bad to say about people with money, guess what? Jesus was not offended with them. He wasn't afraid of them. As a matter of fact, he targeted them. He spoke to their hearts directly, and we shouldn't be afraid of wealth in a specific context. This is a side note. So that's Acts 1. Then we jump to Acts 2. I'm not hearing any pages turn. Acts 2, same page. Good note. I'm preaching from the Women in Destiny Bible. So there's a little bit of a note here to dear women of destiny. So that's why I had to page. Okay, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Awesome. So they were together in one accord, praying, and suddenly a sound from heaven came over them. Tonight we are going to trust God to baptize people with the Holy Spirit for anyone who's not been baptized. Let's continue. Acts 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I think they went from 12 to 120 to 3,000, which I don't have the timeline here, but it doesn't seem like months. It seems like a short period of time. Then Acts 3 verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." And we know that he healed the person. And then the guy said, okay, so he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. Same businessman, going into a city like Pretoria, creating absolute holy chaos. Okay? Acts 5, verse 15. Continuing the power in the church. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. 12 people, or 120 together in an upper room, praying, the Holy Spirit anointing them, going out into the streets, shadows falling onto people, people getting healed, eating together, people from surrounding cities rushing to Pretoria. Once again, imagine this. People from Centurion, from Polokwane, coming from all over just to experience the move of God. And I'm asking you, Why not? What's hindering us of taking church, taking the kingdom to the next level? That's what we hear about. That's what we are here for tonight. Okay, so then lastly, Acts 5 verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of life, of this life." Okay, just to translate a bit, so then the Acts 5 continues, so here they are captured. Acts 5 verse 12, this Peter walks in the street, people get healed as his shadow falls on them. Verse 17, they get imprisoned, but the same night, an angel opens the prison doors and they walk out. The next day, they do the same. The captain went with the officers and brought them back without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. Okay, so now they bring them back to the Sanhedrin. It's very interesting then, verse 33, Gamaliel stands up. Okay, he's a Pharisee, and he then speaks to the Sanhedrin. He says, "Whoa, guys, whoa, you need to be very careful. These guys, we don't want to fool with them. We're going to get into trouble." See, he says here, we asked the apostles, "Can you please just go stand outside for a while? I need to counsel these people." So he gives them advice. He tells them, "Listen, please leave these guys alone." The Sanhedrin calls them back, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now listen to this. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Okay, this is our example. Being called in front of the council there at the church square, you've got the chambers there of, Palace of Justice. Now imagine this, so Jesus is having coffee, he leaves his spirit, the disciples get together in a rich man's house in Waterkloof, they're all together in one accord, Holy Spirit anoints them, falls upon them, they go out into the street, people start getting healed, people from other cities flock in from all over the place. Next moment you're called into the Palace of Justice, you have the beating of your life, get thrown into prison, the same night, you just walk out, you know, angel opens the doors for you, you're back on the streets, doing the same thing, back into in front of the council, get beaten, go out again, and here you're dancing in the streets. Yes, I was beaten. So rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Because these are the men that we hold before us. You know, we always talk about the apostles, the disciples, and we learn from them. But make it practical tonight. Okay? I think that is all I'm going to share on that. So I need to ask you, how do you view yourself as a Christian? And how open are you for the Holy Spirit's guidance Monday to Friday? Okay? How serious are we about our faith? How serious are we about living the life that we see in Acts? These are normal businessmen that met with Jesus, started praying, received the Holy Spirit, and a whole city was turned upside down. A whole city was turned upside down. I'm not sure how many people we are here tonight, but if we look at what happened here, I can tell you that there's enough people here to change this city at least. Amen? So, what then is the solution? What is our instruction from the Word? It's to reach the lost where they are, and that is in the marketplace. The lost now and then is in church, a few individuals. But if you think about it, the lost is out there. Yes, you invite someone and they come, but for the majority of the time, they are out there. And sometimes I get very frustrated when I hear Christians saying, "Yeah, I invited this guy, but then he didn't come to church." So I'm trusting God. Now I invited this guy or this lady, but she didn't come to church. I'm trusting God. What hinders you from bringing the gospel to that person right there at his desk or at lunch? Nothing. If we read this, then we need to step it up. We need to take church to where the lost is. There's a saying that business is the ministry of heaven just as much as the business of heaven is ministry. Business is the ministry of heaven just as much as the business of heaven is ministry. So tonight I want to ask you to live in accordance to your calling. If you're not sure what your calling is, ask God. I think we must open the floor for ministry tonight for that. If you're not sure where you should operate, where your calling is, then please come, let's pray for you. Ask God. He will show you. Then one paradigm shift I'd like us to make this evening is the following one, and that is that work is worship. Please say amen if you agree that work is worship. Your occupation is worship unto God. Have you heard that testimony of Penny Haynes, the Olympic swimmer, that when she broke all those records, people asked her, how did she do it? And she said, she jumped into the pool and she worshipped God. And before she knew it, she touched the other side. And all of, I don't know, five records or whatever. I'm not sure if anyone can remember, but it was an absolute all-time world record. And that was just her worshipping God. Let's look at Adam. Genesis 1 verse 28. God blessed us and said to us, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It's not about surviving. It's about ruling, church. Amen? So rule over the competition in your industry and the corruption of your manager and over every living company that moves on the stock market. Okay, make it relevant to you. Amen. Let's look at Solomon. This is an amazing scripture. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 22. So I saw that there is nothing better for man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? My question is, do you enjoy your worship? Do you enjoy your work? Do you enjoy your studies? I'd like to pray with people that don't agree, that say, listen, I'm not enjoying this. I think I'm at the wrong place. Then please, let's trust God to change your heart or put you in a different place. Because we need to learn from Solomon tonight that there's nothing better for man to do than to enjoy his work. Worship unto God. Okay, family, just four key decisions to transformation. And I'd like to invite you to take this further in your small groups. Workshop it, make it relevant. Decide that your occupation is your ministry. Decide that your occupation is your ministry. Number two, decide to include intercession in your occupation and your company. If you're not praying for your company, if you're not praying over what you're doing on a daily basis, then don't expect God to move there. Open the door for him and he will come in. Number three, decide to listen to and expect the Holy Spirit in your occupation. Okay, I love it when I wake up with a word or a warning or an idea that God gives me and I see how it plays out in the day. Okay, who of you have been there where God gives you something with the Holy Spirit about your occupation? Okay? A couple of you. Trust God. You see, we're very trained in asking God for words of knowledge over ministry and small groups. But the same power and opportunity applies to your daily occupation. Remember, 68.75%. Why would God not be interested in that time? He's very interested, very involved with your daily occupation. You need to decide and listen to expect the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. I've been in many occasions where I wake up and I have this warning over something very practical. You know, someone's going to take me out in a meeting and put me in a bad light. And then I've got the whole morning to prepare and I go into the meeting and that guy, you know, comes at you and he says, no, no, wait, I've got four emails here. That's not what you said 2 months ago. And then that the guy's face, like, how did you know I was going to do that? And that's Holy Spirit. You know, God is there to protect us, to bless us, to give us insight into our daily occupations. And then lastly, get a global vision. reaching nations and generations, remember? Matthew 28 reads, make disciples of all nations. Let's make disciples of all nations. Guys, so let's stand, please. Oh, the band can come up so long, please. John 3, for God gives the Spirit without measure. There's no ifs and buts or the context. Oh, the Spirit is here but not there. I can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Monday to Friday, like I said, God is happy with us being here. This is blessed. This is awesome. The worship, the word, the fellowship is awesome. But we need to take the Spirit without measure out, Monday to Friday. So guys, I want you to, before we go into a time of ministry, just read this or make this declaration with me. I'm going to read and you just follow. I acknowledge that my work, you can go, is honorable and worship unto you. I acknowledge my workplace as a place of ministry. I expect to hear your voice concerning my day-to-day activities. I consecrate my occupation to you. I choose to transform the marketplace by your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the financial resources to do this as I prove myself faithful to your kingdom. I declare you as the God of the marketplace and it all for your glory. Let your glory come. Amen. Amen. Lord, we bless you tonight. Jesus, thank you that the cross is empty, that you gave us such an amazing example, that you gave us the disciples as an example that we can learn from them tonight. Lord, we do not want to keep what we have in here. We want to take it out, Lord. We want to step it up. Lord, we want to trust for your gifts Monday to Friday. Lord, tonight I ask for gift of healing in the office environment. Lord, I ask for a word of knowledge, Lord. In Jesus' name, we know that you want to transform our hearts, Lord, to take the kingdom to where the lost is. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Guys, I just have a sense that God wants to do a couple of things here tonight. So let's, just as we worship, just stay in this spirit of worship. But then I saw a man with brown hair. You're very confused about what you need to do and where you need to go. Girl with blonde hair, you very unsure about what you're studying now, and God wants to speak into that situation. Okay, there's someone here with a leg that is really painful. Trust that God wants to heal you tonight. Amen. And then there's people that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That all of this is great, but you cannot live it. You cannot relate to it without the Holy Spirit. So as we worship, please come forward. Please come and pray for people. Let's exercise the gifts that we read in Acts. Let's make it real, church. In Jesus' name, amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is